Today is a good reminder that local AI work is not only about bigger models or faster benchmark charts. The most useful signal is a small runtime hardening fix in llama.cap, and it points to a deeper systems lesson about state, buffers, memory, and agent handoffs.
Right? The headline sounds narrow, but the pattern is broad. A graph can appear to have the thing it needs, while the backing state is actually absent. That is true in inference runtimes, and it is also true in long-running agent workflows.
So the episode has two layers. First, a compact radar of current releases around local inference and agent tooling. Then we slow down on the runtime edge case because it is the clearest story with a concrete failure mode and a concrete fix.
And we should keep the confidence boundary visible. The release note tells us what changed in the code path. It does not prove that Chris has hit the failure locally, and it does not make a performance claim. It updates the watch posture.
Let us start with the radar. The strongest item is the llama.cap byguard. What actually changed?
The release note describes a path for K and V rotation inputs. A tensor pointer could be present, but the backing buffer could still be missing. When the code asked the backend about that missing buffer, it could assert instead of simply skipping the upload.
That is a very specific kind of bug. Why does it matter beyond one assertion?
Because it sits in the part of local inference where graph setup, cached state, speculative paths, and backend memory assumptions meet. Those are exactly the layers that make local serving feel reliable or brittle, even when the model itself is unchanged.
For a listener who is not deep in inference internals, how would you translate K and V rotation inputs without turning this into a code walkthrough?
Think of them as auxiliary inputs involved in attention state handling. The important part is not the math detail. The important part is that the graph had an input object, while the actual storage behind it was absent.
So the fix is basically an existence check before upload?
Yes. The release note says to guard those rotation inputs with the same kind of buffer check already used near nearby mask inputs. If there is no allocated buffer, there is nothing to upload, and skipping is the correct behavior.
That sounds small, but it also sounds like the kind of small fix that prevents a whole run from falling over.
Exactly. It is not a new capability announcement. It is the maintenance work that keeps advanced local serving paths from failing on an edge case. Those fixes are easy to miss because they do not look dramatic in a release feed.
What should Chris do with it today?
Read it as a watch signal. If he is testing speculative decoding, KV cache injection, or serving wrappers that exercise unusual graph paths, it may be worth keeping this area in mind. It is not enough by itself to change a routing policy.
The second item is LangGraph maintenance. What is the short version there?
LangGraph ship fixes around checkpoint and delta channel behavior, overwrite handling across supersteps, preserving overwrite values through JSON round trips, and valid identifiers in one exit mode delta path. It is not flashy, but it is state machinery.
Why include that in the same briefing as a local inference runtime patch?
Because the shape is similar. Agent systems depend on state crossing boundaries correctly. If a checkpoint or delta channel drops, rewrites, or mislabels state, the agent may resume with the wrong picture of the world.
Does this mean LangGraph should get more attention in Hermes immediately?
Not from this source alone. It means the framework is still doing correctness work in the layers that matter for durable runs. That is worth tracking, especially because Hermes cares about handoffs, retries, and long-lived workflows.
So this is a watch list item, not an architecture decision.
Correct. It is primary source release evidence with practical relevance, but it lacks downstream adoption reports or a Hermes-specific test. The right action is to watch the state handling lane and look for follow-up evidence.
OpenHands Cloud also made the slate. This one is more product control plane than runtime internals. What stood out?
The captured release includes controls like full Git history visibility, admin provisioning, pause or interrupt handling, sandbox defaults, and Azure DevOps integration work. Those are the boring but important surfaces of hosted agent products.
Why do those surfaces matter? I did this for surface. I did this
Because real agent products do not only need a smart loop. They need pausing, provisioning, repository context, sandbox policy, and integration controls. Those determine whether a team can safely adopt the system.
Is there a strong claim here about open hands being ready or better?
No. The briefing only captured the release note. It tells us the product is maturing around operations and enterprise controls. It does not tell us reliability adoption or whether it solves a Hermes deployment gap.
So the takeaway is that the hosted agent category keeps moving from demos toward operations.
Yes, and that is useful context beside the Landgraf item. One is framework state machinery, the other is hosted agent control surface. Both are about making agent work less fragile in practice.
Semantic kernel is another agent framework item today. What should listeners hear there?
The Python release adds function choice behavior for Azure AI and OpenAI Assistant agents, and it includes fixes around message serialization, JSON schema null handling, and encoded dot segment paths in OpenAPI plugin handling.
That sounds like tool use plumbing again.
It is. Function choice behavior affects how an assistant is allowed to select tools. Schema correctness and path handling affect whether plugins are interpreted safely and consistently. The theme is controlled interaction with tools, not model novelty.
How strong is this signal?
Medium. It is primary source framework evidence, and it touches tool and plugin surfaces that matter. But the run did not capture examples, migration reports, or real deployments. It belongs in the radar, not the deep dive.
The weakest item is Chroma. Why keep it at all?
Because Chroma sits in the memory and durable knowledge lane, which is a standing interest. But this particular captured source is mostly a latest or development artifact with package and container metadata. It lacks a clear narrative about a stable feature change.
So in the episode, we should compress it.
Yes, it is a reminder to keep watching the memory stack, not a decision input. If runtime is tight, this is the first item to drop.
That actually helps the editorial shape. We have a strong local inference deep dive, a couple of agent state and tool use radar items, and one weak memory stack marker.
That is the right weighting. The episode should not pretend every item has equal depth.
Let us bridge from the radar into the deep dive. Across these items, I hear one recurring theme, state boundaries. Is that fair?
It is. The local runtime story is about an input object without an allocated buffer. The Landgraf story is about state moving through checkpoints and deltas. The semantic kernel story is about how an agent chooses and describes tool calls.
And the open hand story is about the human and enterprise side of those boundaries, pausing, provisioning, sandbox defaults, and integration hooks.
Exactly. Different layers, same lesson. Systems become reliable when they check what state actually exists, not what a label or object implies should exist.
That is why the llama.cip item deserves the deeper treatment. It is small enough to inspect, but it generalizes.
And it is concrete. We can point to a specific failure condition, a specific guard, and a specific confidence boundary. That is better audio than a broad claim about local AI getting better.
Deep dive, then. Start with the failure mode in plain language.
The code had a path where rotation input tensors could be considered present. But in at least one graph setup, the buffer behind those tensors could be absent. The code then tried to inspect that backend buffer, and the null buffer caused an assertion.
What kind of graph setup are we talking about?
The release note mentions a KV injection pass associated with speculative decoding. The exact workload matters less than the class of issue. A graph can store state or prepare state without all the normal attending behavior happening immediately.
Why does that create a trap?
Because many code paths treat a non-null tensor pointer as enough evidence to proceed. Here, the pointer was not enough. The buffer was the actual resource needed for the upload check.
So the bug is not just null pointer bad. It is a mismatch between object presence and resource readiness.
That is the useful framing. Object presence says there is a thing in the graph. Resource readiness says the thing has usable backing storage. The release note indicates those two conditions were not always aligned.
What did the fix do?
It added the missing buffer check around the rotation inputs. The nearby mask inputs already had that style of check. The patch makes the rotation inputs follow the same rule, only query or upload when a real buffer exists.
And if there is no buffer? And if there is no...
Then there is no data to upload. The release note explicitly frames skipping as the correct behavior. That is the important part, because it means the guard is not hiding useful work, it is avoiding a meaningless operation.
What should we not claim from this?
We should not claim a speed improvement. We should not claim that all speculative decoding paths are now robust. We should not claim Chris was affected. The source establishes a targeted correctness fix in one release.
What can we claim?
We can claim the project is hardening a local serving edge case involving KV rotation input handling. We can claim the failure mode is concrete. We can claim the fix aligns rotation input handling with a guard pattern already used nearby.
For someone operating local models, why does that matter if they never touch this code?
Because local model reliability is increasingly a stack problem. You can choose a good model and still have failures in graph setup, back-end buffers, cache injection, quantized kernels, or serving wrappers. Watching these fixes tells you where the stack is maturing.
So this is a reminder that inference routing decisions need more than quality scores.
Yes, benchmarks tell you one part of the story. Runtime hardening tells you whether a route remains stable under real operating patterns. The two should eventually meet in local tests.
Could this become a test idea for Hermes?
Only if the relevant path matters. If Chris is using a llama.cfp route with speculative decoding or KV injection behavior, a small repro could be useful. If not, it stays as watchlist context.
That is a good operational boundary. We are not creating work just because a release note exists.
Right. The question is whether the local stack uses or plans to use that behavior. If the answer is no, the item still teaches the system's lesson, but it does not demand immediate action.
Let us connect this to agent orchestration. In agent systems, what is the equivalent of a non-null tensor with no backing buffer?
A task can have a memory label without useful memory behind it. A worker can have a handoff file path that exists but contains stale state. A tool call can have a schema object that does not actually match the runtime capability.
So the lesson is explicit validation at the boundary.
Exactly. Do not trust the shape alone. Validate the resource, the freshness, the ownership, and the failure mode. That is what prevents a workflow from crashing later in a more confusing place.
LangGraph fits that analogy because checkpoint and delta behavior are all about what state survives.
Yes. If override semantics or round-trip behavior are wrong, the agent may believe it has state that changed differently than it did. That is the orchestration version of state shape not matching state reality.
Semantic kernel fits because tool choice and plugin schemas are boundaries between the agent and external actions.
Correct. A tool schema can look valid while encoding an unsafe or malformed path. A function choice policy can look permissive while not reflecting the intended control. Maintenance fixes there are about making the boundary honest.
Open hands fits at the product layer. Pausing an agent, provisioning users, setting sandbox defaults, and giving repository history access are all boundary decisions.
They are. A hosted product has to decide who can act, what context the agent sees, where it runs, and how a human interrupts it. Those are state and control boundaries in operational form.
And Chroma is a weak reminder that memory infrastructure needs the same scrutiny, but we do not have enough today to say more.
Yes. The artifact says keep watching, not change anything.
What would raise confidence in the llama.k item?
A follow-up test? A downstream issue report showing the failure in practice? A serving wrapper mentioning the fix? Or a local repro that exercises the affected graph path? Any of those would move it from watch signal toward operational relevance.
What would lower confidence?
If the affected path turns out to be very narrow and irrelevant to the routes Chris uses, or if no downstream wrapper or workload touches it, then it remains a neat maintenance note with little practical consequence.
What about the other radar items? What follow-up would matter?
For LangGraph, examples showing the checkpoint fixes prevent real resume or state bugs. For OpenHands, operator reports about pause, sandbox, provisioning, or integration workflows. For semantic kernel, examples where function choice behavior or plugin path handling changes agent safety or reliability.
And for Chroma?
A stronger release narrative, benchmark, migration note, or integration example. Package metadata alone is not enough.
There is a pattern in those answers. What is it?
The first source tells us what changed. The second layer of evidence tells us whether the change matters. Today we have strong first-source evidence and limited second-layer evidence.
That is a useful editorial boundary.
It is. It lets the briefing be current without becoming breathless. We can say, this is worth watching, while still refusing to make decisions from incomplete evidence.
Does the lack of community discussion hurt the main story?
It limits the impact claim, but it does not invalidate the fix. Primary release evidence is enough to say the project changed code. Community or downstream evidence would be needed to say how often it matters.
Why not make Landgraf the deep dive instead?
Because the captured Landgraf source is less explanatory. It names state-related fixes, but the llama.cip item gives a sharper failure mode, a clearer guard, and a more teachable boundary lesson.
Why not make Open Hands the deep dive?
Because the Open Hands item is a bundle of product changes, useful but broad. The episode needs one focused question, and the runtime fix provides that focus.
Why not make the whole show about agent products?
Because today, the most concrete evidence is lower in the stack. Agent products matter, but the day's best source-back lesson is about how fragile assumptions at the runtime boundary can be.
How should the listener think about quiet topics today?
Quiet is not failure. Provider policy, security, home lab hardware, Linux systems, and physics should wait for real source strength. Forced coverage would lower the value of the briefing.
If the next cycle finds a stronger security source, should it displace this theme?
Yes, if it changes decisions more. The briefing is significance, ranked, not committed to yesterday's theme. Today, the release note cluster is the strongest current evidence.
What should not happen after this episode?
We should not create a broad benchmark project just because a release note exists. The reasonable follow-up is narrow, watch, maybe test the specific path if it intersects local serving work.
What should happen if Chris later sees a crash in a related path?
Then this note becomes useful context. It points to buffer readiness and KV input handling as an area to inspect rather than treating the crash as generic model instability.
That distinction between model instability and runtime instability matters.
It does. If a model route fails, the cause may be prompt behavior, model quality, serving configuration, back-end memory, graph construction, or a wrapper bug. Good operations separate those layers.
How does this interact with Hermes model routing preferences?
Indirectly. Hermes already favors proven local routes for worker lanes. This item says that route confidence should continue to include runtime maturity, not only scoreboards.
What is the safest summary for the local stack?
Keep the current routing posture, watch llama.cip runtime hardening, and test only when the affected feature path overlaps with actual usage.
What is the safest summary for agent frameworks?
Watch maintenance around state checkpoints, tool choice, and plugin handling. Those are the places where long-running agents either become dependable or quietly lose coherence.
What is the safest summary for the memory lane?
Do not overread the weak Chroma artifact. Memory remains important, but today's source does not justify a strong memory stack claim.
What is the safest summary for production audio work?
Treat publication proof as separate from research interest. The episode itself only becomes voice product evidence after the render, manifest, and feed handoff are verified.
That last distinction has bitten the workflow before.
Yes. A ready plan is not a published episode. A manifest without a final file is not publication. A feed update without public verification is not a completed podcast.
Bring it back to the main systems lesson.
The common failure mode is trusting labels. A tensor label, a checkpoint label, a tool schema label, or a publication status label can all be misleading unless the backing artifact is present and verified.
That is a strong closer.
It is also the practical operating rule. Verify the backing state before moving to the next step.
One more nuance before we hand off. Why is this kind of release easy to underrank?
Because it has no big product name attached to it. It is a maintenance fix with a technical title, so it can look like background noise. But for local serving, background noise is often where reliability changes happen.
How should we compare that with a flashy model announcement?
A flashy announcement may change capability expectations. A runtime fix changes whether existing capabilities can run without surprise failures. Both matter, but they answer different operational questions.
What is the operational question here?
Can the local stack handle edge cases in graph and cache behavior cleanly? The release gives one positive signal, but only for the specific path it names.
Is this also a reminder about release note hygiene?
Yes. Good release notes give enough detail to distinguish a real fix from vague maintenance. Here we get the condition, the bad behavior, and the intended guard, which is enough to reason about the shape of the issue.
What did the briefing deliberately avoid? You can have the say buried of many after.
It avoided claiming that this patch improves speed, quality, or broad stability. It also avoided saying the failure is common. Those claims would need measurements or user reports.
How does this affect the local inference and routing interest lane?
It reinforces the lane because routing is not only model selection. Routing also depends on serving stacks, cache behavior, backend memory, and the maturity of the runtime around advanced features.
What would make the LangGraph item stronger tomorrow?
A concrete example where the delta or checkpoint fix prevents a failed resume, duplicate state, or incorrect overwrite. Without that, it remains a relevant maintenance note.
What would make the open hands item stronger? In Sadwali Sarmist,
a report from operators showing that pause handling, provisioning, sandbox defaults, or repository history controls reduce friction in a real deployment.
What would make the semantic kernel item stronger?
A practical example showing that function choice support changes an assistant workflow, or that path and schema fixes close a real plugin integration hazard.
What would make the Chroma item stronger?
A clear, stable release note, benchmark, migration guide, or integration report. Build metadata alone does not carry enough meaning.
There is a pattern in those answers. What is it?
The first source tells us what changed. The second layer of evidence tells us whether the change matters. Today we have strong first source evidence and limited second layer evidence.
That is a useful editorial boundary.
It is. It lets the briefing be current without becoming breathless. We can say, this is worth watching, while still refusing to make decisions from incomplete evidence.
Does the lack of community discussion hurt the main story? And says, what does the making impossible times end years?
It limits the impact claim, but it does not invalidate the fix. Primary release evidence is enough to say the project changed code. Community or downstream evidence would be needed to say how often it matters.
Why not make LangGraph the deep dive instead?
Because the captured LangGraph source is less explanatory. It names state-related fixes, but the llama.cp item gives a sharper failure mode, a clearer guard, and a more teachable boundary lesson.
Why not make OpenHands the deep dive?
Because the open hands item is a bundle of product changes. Useful, but broad. The episode needs one focused question, and the runtime fix provides that focus.
Why not make the whole show about agent products?
Because today the most concrete evidence is lower in the stack. Agent products matter, but the day's best source-backed lesson is about how fragile assumptions at the runtime boundary can be.
How should the listener think about quiet topics today?
Quiet is not failure. Provider policy, security, home lab hardware, Linux systems, and physics should wait for real source strength. Forced coverage would lower the value of the briefing.
If the next cycle finds a stronger security source, should it displace this theme?
Yes, if it changes decisions more. The briefing is significance ranked, not committed to yesterday's theme. Today, the release note cluster is the strongest current evidence.
What should not happen after this episode?
We should not create a broad benchmark project just because a release note exists. The reasonable follow-up is narrow, watch, maybe test the specific path if it intersects local serving work.
What should happen if Chris later sees a crash in a related path?
Then, this note becomes useful context. It points to buffer readiness and KV input handling as an area to inspect, rather than treating the crash as generic model instability.
That distinction between model instability and runtime instability matters.
It does. If a model root fails, the cause may be prompt behavior, model quality, serving configuration, backend memory, graph construction, or a wrapper bug. Good operations separate those layers.
How does this interact with Hermes model routing preferences?
Indirectly. Hermes already favors proven local routes for worker lanes. This item says that route confidence should continue to include runtime maturity, not only scoreboards.
What is the safest summary for the local stack?
Keep the current routing posture, watch llama.cfp runtime hardening, and test only when the affected feature path overlaps with actual usage.
What is the safest summary for agent frameworks?
Watch maintenance around state, checkpoints, tool choice, and plugin handling. Those are the places where long-running agents either become dependable or quietly lose coherence.
What is the safest summary for the memory lane?
Do not overread the weak chroma artifact. Memory remains important, but today's source does not justify a strong memory stack claim.
What is the safest summary for production audio work?
Treat publication proof as separate from research interest. The episode itself only becomes voice product evidence after the render, manifest, and feed handoff are verified.
That last distinction has bitten the workflow before.
Yes. A ready plan is not a published episode. A manifest without a final file is not publication. A feed update without public verification is not a completed podcast.
Bring it back to the main systems lesson.
The common failure mode is trusting labels. A tensor label, a checkpoint label, a tool schema label, or a publication status label can all be misleading unless the backing artifact is present and verified.
That is a strong closer.
It is also the practical operating rule. Verify the backing state before moving to the next step.
If this episode has a title in spirit, what is it?
Do not trust the object until you have checked the backing state. That phrase applies to buffers, checkpoints, tool schemas, memory stores, and publication artifacts.
Why is that especially relevant to agents?
Because agents multiply boundaries. They cross from planning to tools, from tools to files, from files to memory, from memory to new workers, and from workers back to a parent process. Each boundary can lie by omission.
What does a boundary lie by omission look like?
It looks like a path that exists, but points to stale content, a status field that says ready while the artifact is missing, or a context object that has the right name but not the right contents.
That connects directly to this production workflow too.
It does, but the substantive lesson is broader. Do not equate labels with verified state. The runtime fix is the small concrete example that lets us talk about the larger operating discipline.
How should the next briefing run improve on today?
Richer source diversity would help. Fresh feed intake, web corroboration, issue discussions, and docs would make the release note cluster more decision grade. Today still works because the main release note is unusually concrete.
What should happen if those richer sources do not appear?
Then keep the item in watch posture. A thin source base can support awareness, but not a strong recommendation.
What is the final listener promise today?
A practical filter. Small maintenance releases can matter when they reveal boundary assumptions, but they become operational decisions only after tests, downstream evidence, or direct local relevance.
Give me the closing version. People and happen down.
Today's update is not that local AI got magically better. It is that one important local runtime project hardened a real edge case, while agent frameworks kept working on state, tools, and control surfaces. The path forward is to watch carefully, test narrowly, and verify backing state before trusting the label.
Before we close, I want to make the operator angle even more explicit. When a local model route fails, what is the first diagnostic mistake people make?
They often blame the model immediately. Sometimes that is right, but often the failure is lower in the stack. A back-end assumption, a cache path, a graph edge case, a wrapper setting, or a missing resource behind an object that looked valid.
So the mental model is layered, not monolithic.
Exactly. Model behavior is one layer. Serving runtime is another. Hardware back-end is another. Tooling wrappers are another. The llama.cppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppppp
How would you explain the buffer lesson to someone building an agent system instead of an inference server?
I would say, never assume a name state object is usable until you check the durable backing. If a memory handle points to stale content, the agent can fail just as surely as a runtime that sees a tensor pointer with no buffer behind it.
That makes the LangGraph and semantic kernel items feel less random.
They are not random. LangGraph is about state surviving transitions. Semantic kernel is about tool choice and plugin boundaries. Open hands is about operator control. They all orbit the same reliability problem from different layers.
What is the risk of over-indexing on these maintenance items?
The risk is turning every release note into a mandate. A maintenance item should earn attention, not automatic action. The next step is always to ask whether the affected path touches the systems Chris actually runs or plans to test.
What is the risk of under-indexing on them?
The risk is missing the places where real systems become dependable. Mature infrastructure often advances through many small boundary checks, serialization fixes, and control plane improvements. Those changes rarely look exciting, but they compound.
That compounding point is important for local inference.
It is. A root can look good in a single benchmark and still be a poor worker root if the surrounding runtime has fragile edge cases. Conversely, a root with modest raw scores can become valuable if its serving stack is predictable and easy to recover.
Does today change the preferred local worker model? A.
No. Nothing in this briefing displaces the existing routing posture. It only says that runtime hardening evidence should remain part of the evaluation surface when local routes are reviewed.
Does today create a new research task?
Not automatically. It creates a conditional follow-up. If speculative decoding or KV injection paths are in use, consider a focus check. If they are not in use, keep the item as context and move on.
How should tomorrow measure whether this was more than a one-day blip?
Look for corroboration. That could be tests landing near the fix, issue discussion from users, downstream wrapper updates, or another release that touches related buffer assumptions. Without that, it remains a precise but narrow note.
What if no corroboration appears?
Then the correct conclusion is still useful. A relevant project fixed a narrow edge case, and the episode extracted a systems lesson without exaggerating impact.
One thing I like about today is that it resists the usual hype arc.
Yes, there is no grand claim that agents have crossed a threshold, or that local inference has a new champion. The value is more sober. Reliable systems depend on boring checks at the exact boundary, where assumptions break.
That also makes the weak chroma item easier to handle.
Right. We can say memory infrastructure remains important, while admitting that this captured artifact is thin. That is better than pretending every track topic delivered a major update.
If you were writing a sticky note for Chris after this episode, what would it say?
Watch the boundary checks. In local inference, verify buffers and graph resources. In agents, verify checkpoints, tool schemas, memory handles, and publication artifacts. Trust the backing state, not the label.
And if he only has time for one source?
Read the LlamaDut, SEPAPEAT release note, then treat the LangGraph and semantic kernel items as secondary context. The open hands and chroma items can wait unless their specific surfaces become relevant.
Final thought for me. Today is a maintenance day, but not a nothing day.
That is the right phrase. Maintenance days are where infrastructure tells you what it is becoming. Today, it is telling us that local and agentic systems are still paying down boundary assumptions, one narrow fix at a time.